Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Yeah, I mean, after, like, having some tough at-bats, I feel like, me personally, like, I'm like, all right, I have to get a hit this time instead of just thinking simple and be like, all right, just have a quality at-bat, which is more important than trying to force a hit. You know, even if it's like a walk or even hit the ball hard and maybe they make an error or something and just getting on base, just having a quality at-bat is kind of something I feel like we'll get back to soon. So I'm not too worried about us.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number four here for WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. In the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales event. And it is apparently Superman night here at Fenway Park.
You'll believe a man can fly.
I do. I don't know if I believe a dog can fly, but we'll get into that later.
Wait, hold on. If a man can fly, why can't a dog fly?
I don't know. It's weird.
I actually don't know the crypto origin story. Did he?
There's something called a dork podcast.
Hashtag dork.
Feel free to go contact hashtag dork.
Keith, Keith, can you text me?
I may have reached out to him on Twitter already to show him my new Superman and crypto bobblehead.
So for fans on their way to the stadium tonight, if you purchase the special ticket, you get a Red Sox limited edition Superman and crypto bobblehead plus, and this is what we're on the lookout for Dan Ball. It's a little souvenir Red Sox jersey. And the T-shirt underneath is a Superman uniform.
Like Clark Kent was wearing a Red Sox jersey, and then he turned into Superman. Also, the bobblehead, we've noticed, Superman fits in on the Red Sox because he would bat lefty.
That's right.
Did we know this?
Did we know Superman was a lefty? Like, he's catching, he's got a glove on, and he's making a catch with his right hand.
And he actually caught the ball in like
a
real Red Sox.
I don't think he's pulling a Jim Abbott and then throwing it over to the other glove and throw.
Not one-handed.
Well, you know what I mean, though. But yes. I'm just saying, but he moved the glove over.
All right.
This took a turn.
Time now for league leaders and circling the drains as this segment circles the drains. League leaders circling drains brought to you by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. And what I wanted to get into coming off that Jaron Duran quote was, I think the Red Sox are league leaders in pressure right now. And what is circling the drains is their season because of it. Did you guys listen closely to Jaron Duran? I go up there thinking, I have to get a hit right now.
Yeah.
Baseball is the worst sport to play. Maybe not worse. There's other, but when you have pressure like that and you go into something like, thinking about having to do it and the pressure of having to do it.
When the whole team is faltering.
Terrible. Terrible mentality. And we've talked about that. He just articulated what we've talked about. That some of these guys, and we use Jaron Duran as an example. Hey, why has he regressed as both a fielder and a hitter in this season? And we're like, kind of looks like he might be trying too hard to be good, trying too hard to be the centerpiece of the lineup.
Actually, this guy right here, once again, I'm going to highlight.
Dan Ball.
It's a must listen on Sunday mornings / early afternoons when the ball game takes over WEEI.
You really run with Dan Ball in your ears?
Yeah.
What's with that tone?
I'm a music guy.
No, I run with him in my heart.
Me too. Yeah. They're always in my heart, Dan
Well,
Ball.
Better. I run with them between my legs.
Nope. We're not doing that.
What if I wore my...
Nope.
Okay.
I don't want any of you listening anymore. What's your point?
No. So yesterday, I think you were making the point yesterday about it was easier perhaps for Duran to play center field and that him playing over and left because like there's the monster and then there's that wall right there that it may be in his head.
Yeah, I think...
That was a nice little working hypothesis right there.
Statistically speaking, his range going towards the foul line and towards the wall is the worst among left fielders in baseball. So I do feel like it robs him of being his wild child 110% self
right.
In some capacity when he's playing center. But he also talked about how he feels at this point that he needs to be the All-Star Game MVP every single night that he takes the field.
He does. He just can't feel that way.
Right.
You know that makes no sense? He is right. He has eyes. He has ears. He heard and saw Rafi Devers get off the plane and people go, oh, that's because he got traded. He's no longer on our team. He heard and saw Alex Bregman leave the lineup. He heard and saw Tristan Casas, A, stink, and then B, leave the lineup. He knows what he is. He is the best veteran player they have right now, or should be the best veteran player.
Healthy, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, I actually appreciate that. That's an admirable desire,
mm-hmm.
but the execution of that on a Major League Baseball field, 4 at-bats a night, 9 innings a night, just isn't realistic. Like, I don't think that Christian Campbell was going to be better off just pressing, right? Like, or Walker Buehler. Like, Fitzy's little scenario for Walker Buehler, he gets DFA'd, he's not on the Red Sox, maybe goes to the minors with the Dodgers, and by the time the end of the season, he works his way back. Whatever. That makes sense. But just going out there, sucking, putting pressure on yourself, cracking under the pressure, that's a tough hole to dig yourself out of.
It's kind of backwards, Fitzy, where he's playing as if he needs to be the All-Star Game MVP every single night, and he's faltering, where if he just plays as Jarren Duran, he's going to turn himself back into the All-Star Game MVP. And a guy who I think that we can all admit, when he's going right, one of the best five-tool players that you see in terms of everything that he brings to the table. So it's tough. I don't know how you talk to a guy and get through to a guy who's clearly very, you know, it works through a lot of mental stuff on a daily basis, which we've acknowledged, and I give him credit for doing it. I don't know how you get through to a guy like that.
But how do you stop? The key is to, you know, breathe, take it easy, you know, realign, find your center, and stop pressing. But how do you stop pressing?
Easy for you to do, right?
Yeah, right.
Easy for everybody else other than the one person.
Yep. It's easy to say.
Right.
It's not as easy to do. Like, hey, just to aim, hey, like if I were to say to you, like, just get out there, Andy, like, as you're stepping up to the tee box, like, relax, like, the game doesn't matter. Just, you know, grip it and rip it. Like, 10,000 things run through your head before you hit a golf ball. 10,000 things are probably running through this guy's head, including, why isn't my team winning? How come I'm not playing as well as I did last year? And how is this affecting my financial future?
That is a great comparison for me personally. You know, almost always my worst shot of the day is off the first tee, because you're near the clubhouse and there's people watching and there's somebody looking. And you know where my best shot usually is? Like, the 14th hole, when you're on the far side of the course, there's nobody around, and I've given up saying, just golf's not for me. I stink. That's when I crush a drive right down dead center. But how do you do that night in, night out at Fenway Park or in a bit? You know what I mean? Like,
at a major champion level, so to speak, because that's the kind of thing we're talking about.
And you know, he became the All-Star and the All-Star MVP not thinking he could be an All-Star and an All-Star MVP.
What a surprise story, right, as it was last year. Like, whoa.
Just trying to be a good player.
Probably kind of thinking he was an underdog, quite honestly.
Right.
And remember, a couple of years ago, we were all on his back and up his backside, because there was the whole, like, yeah, if you're not with us now, then, you know, like, don't be with us later on. And then everyone was like, oh, screw this kid. Who does he think he is? He hasn't earned the right to say that. And then he comes back there was the fly ball in the outfield that he just lost track of, and everyone's like, this kid sucks. 2 years later, he is the offense. I can't believe also at this point last year, they're 4 games over .500.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, they're much worse this year, don't worry.
They were 10 games over by the All-Star break last year. Bonkers. That's by the way, why people are giving up. When this happens year over year over year over year, and you're .500, and we keep getting we're gonna add at the trade deadline, so don't worry, just sit tight. These guys are on their way, these prospects. When you hear that 5 years in a row, yeah, I am gonna give up earlier and earlier, because I'm hearing the and seeing the exact same.
Pretty soon it's gonna go from, oh, it's Superman bobblehead in jersey night, to get a crisp $100 bill at the gate night.
Please. Yeah, like those old WNBA videos where, do you want a ticket or a $5 bill? And the people are like, $5 bill, please. No, and the other thing that I think is potential for people to give up sooner, or to be more likely to give up, is something we actually talked about late last season on the previous iteration here on WEEI Afternoons with Alex Cora. He acknowledged the fading of his teams was something he was aware of, that he starts to question, are we doing things the right way? Are we managing the season the right way? Why do my teams always fade?
Right.
So now you're telling me you're not as good at this point as you were a year ago, and historically speaking, consistently, your teams fade. Why should I think there's any hope in this season? You don't even have a buffer. If you were like 12 games over .500, you're like, now, we know they're going to fade, but hopefully the cushion is big enough so that they can still sneak in the playoffs. No, you're light years out of the playoffs, and we expect you to get worse because, historically, you get worse.
Yeah, you fade every single week. You go through a quick hot streak, and then you fade almost every single week.
Yep.
And you're right back where you were. That was actually something Duran talked about in his recent interview, how the workout plans that were given to him by the Red Sox were leading to him breaking down as the season went along. So he went out, got a third party trainer who helped him out going into 2024. And that's what led to an 160 game season, an All-Star game MVP, and a top 10 MVP finish.
What, did he fire the guy this year? Where's the guy now?
I don't know. Unfortunately,
is that his personal driveline guy?
Maybe it's the personal anti-driveline guy.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
I just don't discount that idea. I know you brought that up, but there are a lot of these guys that have personal guys and then team guys.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do think that butting of heads, while it's not as sexy as like Tom Brady has Alex Guerrero and Bill Belichick doesn't like Alex Guerrero and Bill Belichick is loyal to Moses Cabrera. It's not as sexy as that. I think there are a lot of these guys that have those guys, and there is that sort of push and pull. And it's one thing when you're going well. Oh, I'm going well. I'm going to do driveline. I'm going to do what when it goes south. Now that other person chirping is like, told you this would never last in the big leagues. Told you you should be hitting the ball. And told you you should be doing this. And these are all, what was your phrase from earlier?
Proof of concept.
Proof of concept that when you lose, like that's what this is. When you lose, everything pops up and becomes an issue. When you win, everything gets squashed down and is quieted. On the mound tonight is a favorite of Dan Ball. Chase, don't call him Brown Burns, is a 22-year-old right-handed pitcher. Second overall pick. I love when Dan Ball does
that. Yeah, fireball a kid.
Last year, a year ago, was the number two overall pick.
That's impressive, right?
No, I do.
Okay.
I wasn't mocking you.
Oh,
you I like that you accentuated for my eyes.
Usually do. Go
Grandpa
ahead.
Grandpa looks at it and knows immediately what you're talking about there. 36.88% K rate in the minors. First six outs in his major league debut were all strikeouts. That's pretty freaking
cool. Dude.
You know my theory. Remember my theory when we talked about Roman Anthony and I think special is special? That is special.
Yeah.
When you get called up and you go, why is this any different? I've pitched before. See this mound? This is 60 feet, 6 inches away, right? I'm just going to throw. You're out. You're out. You're out. You're out. You're out. You're out. Six outs in a row, strikeouts. That's special. That's
awesome. Next level special.
Now, what is the number tonight for the Red Sox strikeouts, and how do I take the over would be my next question.
I'm going to set it. Ready? I'm going to set it at 10.5.
So what is his... The problem is, how long does he go? Because he went five innings last night.
Danny, what's his whip on the season?
So he only has the one start. He went, it was six hits and three runs, but didn't walk anybody. I believe, if memory serves, and I'm double-checking it, his strikeout over-under total is set at 5.5 for tonight.
Oh, I'm taking the over.
I would, too. He had eight against the Yankees.
Yeah.
And nobody strikes out more than the Red Sox.
He got over that number in the first six batters last time.
Yeah.
Have you heard the Red Sox like to strike out, even though their manager doesn't like when they strike out and you're facing this guy? Wonder if I could bet should I do both overs? Crochet and Burns?
I would.
A little parlay.
I would.
I bet you the old
Redropolitans are free swingers. Hello?
Sorry. I was distracted by Stiz in my ear. What did your producer say?
Don't distract the host in the middle of the show. What was it? No one's listening to this.
Our guy Bradfoe. Two appearances, one day.
We
got a little sneak peek here of his.
I love
you're a big fan, I know.
Yep.
Of the McFarland-sponsored 2-Minute Grill.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
In the Mass Mutual pregame show. We have a sneak peek with Alex Bregman that Stiz is going to play for us.
We want to listen to you, and you say you're almost close to 100%.
Yeah, I feel really good. Today was the best I felt during the rehab process. The fast side ran and resumed full baseball activity, so a lot of weeks ahead of what we predicted, so we're kind of taking it day by day when it comes to that, because obviously you don't want to rush it too much, but we're very far ahead of where we thought we'd be at this point.
I don't want you to rush, but I actually want you to rush because we need your bat in the lineup. We absolutely need your bat in the lineup, Alex Bray. Weeks ahead of the timeline.
Chance he returns before the All-Star break is what was floating around Twitter.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
I thought we were all committed to like July 18th at the earliest.
I think that was a manage expectations, and I actually think it makes sense. Bring him back before the All-Star break to play a game or two.
Sure.
And then you have some time off, like see how it reacts, like deal with it. You have some time, and then boom, expect him to resume a semi-regular
And thank God you traded Rafael Devers, because now your DH position is wide open for Alex Bregman to come back into the lineup early and not have to field while he's doing that.
Yeah. What about Yoshida?
Yeah. What about Yoshida? Are we going to see Masataka Yoshida this year?
Yes. And he's going to be a hybrid player, Alex Cora told us.
He was taking fly balls off the monster this afternoon. There's going to be such an investigation into this team after the year for injury list manipulation.
Oh, does he
wild.
The Fenway, little Fenway flu?
Oh, big time.
I just want to know. I don't even care about that.
I'm just telling you what.
I mean, I covered Bill Belichick for 20 years. That stuff happens a lot in professional sports.
All the time.
My whole thing is, a year ago, he couldn't play the field. This year, well, till he can play in the field, we can't get him back in the lineup. And I'm like, wait, you didn't want to play him in the field? You said he couldn't play outfield in Major League Baseball. Now you're trying to sell me that he is a Major League outfielder. My guess is my eyes are going to tell me that they were more right last year than this year once I see him out there on a regular basis.
You think so?
Yes.
Even playing left field here?
Yeah, ask Aaron Duran. It's supposed to be easy. It's not as easy as it looks sometimes.
Yeah, but I feel like you need less of what Duran features, which is the athleticism, and more of just the ability to read the monster, which is just kind of fielding sense.
The saving grace of left field, in my opinion, at Fenway Park is the F-ups don't turn into like home runs. Where in other ballparks or other areas, even of Fenway Park, you screw up, the guy scores.
Because there's
left field, you're so close that you can screw up and it's still a double.
It'll cost you like a base. Whereas you screw up, you let a ball go between your legs in center field, it rattles around that triangle.
You're toast.
That's an inside the park. Or look what happened to Roman Anthony in his debut game.
Whereas in left field, we'll mock him, but really a lot of them would have been a double anyway.
And you're
just like, it's an uglier version of the double we should have already expected. But it's just a double, and he's on second base. Like,
perfect. Masa can do that.
So what is our level of frustration if you were Garrett Crochet? Because that's something I've thought a lot about. Like, that idea, I know what I'm supposed to be, and I know what you pay me for, and I know this comes with the territory. You're an ace. You're expected to go deeper in games. You're expected to he gives your team a chance to succeed every single game. But when you don't get wins, isn't that difficult to deal with? Like, that would bother me. Even though I'm trying to be a team player and I'm not trying to be like I'm not getting wins, a-hole mentality. Aren't you thinking that somewhere inside?
Of course. How can you not? Aren't most of these guys like hyper-competitive, or at least aren't they in this not just because they have a gift for it, but rather they like winning? They like competing? What do you think how much longer can Alex Cora and St. Bregman or anyone else keep the mood above the mood above the drowning line, above water, the Mendoza line, however you want to refer to it, in the clubhouse before eventually it just becomes, well, time to show up for another big fat L at the old ballpark.
And I know it's Dan Ball, thanks to people like you.
Okay.
I'll let that sit there for just half a second.
Proceed with caution.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to people like you, there is no elimination of like winning a Cy Young Award now when you don't win games.
No.
You know, that's 20 years ago. If you didn't win games, you didn't win the Cy Young Award.
Yeah.
It didn't matter your ERA, your strikeouts, your innings pitch. Now
you can have a 500 record.
He can be probably sub 500. He could probably be sub 500, lead the league in strikeouts and innings with an ERA that's like 2 and win a Cy Young. And I get that. But also, you still want a W. You still want a win attached not only to your name, more importantly, you know, they have this stupid happy flight thing. How about happy night? How about go home? How about go get a beer and a steak feeling like, I won the game today. I did what we needed to do, and then we finished the job, and I gave it to Chapman, and we put it away. Like, that has to be infuriating. Like, it just, I wouldn't deal with it well. I know I wouldn't.
I would imagine, I mean, that game against the Yankees that we saw here a couple Fridays ago, where it's a 1-0 game. He is shoving, and then he gives up a moonshot to Aaron Judge. And what was it?
You got him three times.
Right. Yeah.
Struck him out three times, fourth one. Put 97 on the corner, but it's Aaron Judge. He's gonna do that to you. But that was oh my God, that's when I thought this season was gonna be different.
There's no reason it should have come to that.
Right.
So it's things like that will make the one Miller Lite become two.
But or three, or four.
Yeah.
Or six. But this is I always said this about Peyton Manning when he had bad defenses.
We had some protection problems out there today?
No. What I said earlier in the show, that whole theory in New England that Tom Brady lived early in his career, no one ever lost for punting. Well, you didn't, because you have good defense, good special teams. Peyton Manning went into certain games at certain times in his career knowing, if I punt, we lose because the other team is going to score almost every time they have the football.
That was the whole Belichick mentality facing Peyton Manning.
And I think that's how Garrett Crochet feels. And we talk about the pressure with Jarren Duran. I need to get a hit every time up. It's the same thing for Crochet. I think he firmly believes if I give up a run, I might lose. And you shouldn't feel that way. You should feel like if I go out there and give up three or fewer, I gave our team a great chance to win the game. If you give up three runs as Garrett Crochet, that's disappointing, right?
I mean, I don't see any signs of the Duran stuff in Garrett Crochet. Thank God, by the way. But
No, because he's better. He's dealing with it better.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's the same situation. The pressure is there.
Right.
He's just either more talented or more mentally attuned to his own expectations to deal with it. But it's the same. I think when he goes, oh, it's 0-0 in the seventh or something, like, they're probably not going to score tonight, so I can't let the other team score.
I get a pretty big IDGAF vibe from Garrett Crochet, just about any of it. I honestly don't think that any of this seems to really bother him all that much.
Okay.
Seems unflappable-ish.
And the reason I say that is because we had the conversation, we were here, Fitzy, you, me, and Mego, on that Friday of the game that we just talked about, and Crochet was coming off of giving up five against the Yankees. So our conversation was, well, gee, guys, what happens if he's the Garrett Cole of the Red Sox and he can't face the Yankees? What does that mean for being a Red Sox ace?
Yep.
And then he shoved it where the sun doesn't shine on them up until that last at-bat against Aaron Judge. So, luckily, thank God, and it's one of the few players where you can see it. It looks like that kind of pressure and him being an ace of the Red Sox and not getting any run support hasn't impacted him
yet. So we got one.
Y-E-T yet.
We got one.
It's going to wear him. It's got to wear you down, though.
That's how I feel about it. But we got one for now.
I don't think it's there yet.
We just need 25 more of those for a full baseball team. 617-779-7937. Talking a little Red Sox here. But more importantly, we're leading into Fitzy's favorite time of the week. It's 5:30.
And I guarantee you this one, it's going to be action-packed.
An action-packed edition of the Fitzy 5. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. And now, the guy who just sang the Fitzy 5 intro, Dan Ball, has what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
After the ad read with the meow, I was prepared for anything. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay. Features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. The Red Sox fell to the Toronto Blue Jays yesterday afternoon at Fenway Park. Boston now welcomes the Cincinnati Reds to Fenway for a three-game series as their homestand continues. First pitch of Game 1 is set for 7:10. It's Garrett Crochet opposite rookie Chase Burns. Here's your lineup for tonight. Jarren Duran leads off in left, and it's Roman Anthony, your DH. Abraham Toro is at first with Carlos Narvaez, your catcher. Willier Abreu out in right. Trevor Story at short. Marcelo Meyer is back at third. He was activated from the bereavement list earlier today with Nick Sogard sent back down to AAA. Then it's David Hamilton at second and Seydon Rafaela in center field batting ninth. Also from today, the Red Sox reinstated right-handed pitcher Jordan Hicks from the 15-day injured list. He will wear number 46. To make room, Boston optioned right-handed pitcher Zach Kelly back down to Worcester. And from our own Rob Bradford, Alex Bregman says there is a chance that he returns to the team before the All-Star break. You can listen to tonight's game, meanwhile, on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Weil is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Bruins have announced a number of signings over the last 24 hours. Among those, Marat Khuznadinov signs a two-year extension. Michael Callahan, a one-year, two-way deal. Henry Yokiharyu, 3 years at $3 million per season. Johnny Beecher, a one-year extension. Goaltender Michael DiPietro signs a two-year deal. And Morgan Geekie signs a six-year contract extension worth $5.5 million per season. NHL free agency opens up tomorrow at noon. NBA free agency, meanwhile, opens up tonight at 6 o'clock. At this time, teams can start negotiating with all free agents, but contracts cannot be officially signed until July the 6th. Luke Kornet and Al Horford headline the Celtics pending free agents. Headed to Fenway for the game this evening. Park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Pru. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.